Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, October 27th, 2025. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of the website, of which the proceeds go to support NLAZ.
I lost you, John.
Lost me again? All right, hold on a minute. All right, I guess the sound is coming through good now. All right, we'll start off with our scripture reading. We're reading the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 3 in the book of Ephesians. Let me get that going. And it'll be read by Alexander Squilby. Ephesians chapter 3.
John, I'm not hearing anything or seeing anything.
All right, hang on a second. All right, we'll try this again. Picking up on the reading of the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, read by Alexander Squilby.
Chapter 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I am a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. When less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Okay, Jen, do we have any questions tonight?
Yes, we have several questions tonight, John. Let me pull them up. The first question says, and there's
Megan.
Can you hear me, John?
Yeah, he's breaking a little, but try it. Go ahead. I don't know if he's breaking. Is he breaking other people, or is this just me?
He's breaking a bit.
All right, yeah, try going ahead. We'll see what happens.
Let me.
I noticed.
Me, you're garbled tonight, John. I can't understand what you're saying.
It looks like you got something else going on because you're popping in from an icon to what looks like a video that's not coming through. Why don't you reboot and see what comes up? And we'll pick up then when you get back, and unless Terry knows the questions. You want to reboot, Jen?
Is that different?
Let's give it a try. I'm hearing noise.
I don't hear anything on my end.
Well, you're going to have to reboot.
Okay. Terry, you can't hear me.
I can hear. Terry, can you hear him? Maybe he'll hear you. Or Eric.
Now let me reboot.
Good idea. All right. Anyway, am I coming through okay at this point?
Yes,
I am. Okay. Just let me know if we've got any problems coming up. While we're waiting for Jan to get back, I'll just go through a couple of things here. You know, we have a lot of courses that people can take under our education tab, and strongly suggest that people do take these courses. There's much that we need to learn that we've not been taught in school when we were growing up, and a lot of people just don't know how to have government by consent. They don't know the Constitution, and they don't, and therefore you can't understand or know whether, you know, the government, those people who are representing us in government, is obeying the Constitution or not. We don't know the Constitution. We don't know the law, and we don't know, again, what they're doing, whether it be good or bad. So people should be taking the courses, and we need to really get the word out to people. Try to take some of the courses that we've got going here. And anybody that plans on doing anything in the courts, and actually everybody should know how to deal with the courts. You never know if something comes up and you have to go into a court. You definitely want to be involved in taking care of your own business. Even if you were to hire an attorney to assist you, you want to maintain control of your case. And so we do have a really good course for that under Education Starts here. It's called Court Access in the Common Law. And people should take a look at this, come to that page, and you can see all of the different things that we've included in this course. And we do give the first session for free, so you can come in and listen to the first 3 hours of the session. I believe it's an 80-hour course. And we only charge $125 for that course. And so, but it's a full, course on how to take care of your business in court. So it's a law course. And we list out a lot of the things that we include in this course. So you can look to see the list of things that we cover, paper writing and different forms and how to start open a court of record. And again, either coming in as a plaintiff or coming in as a defendant. We cover the rules that these people have. From my position, when I go into court, I accept any rule that is not contrary to the law of the land. In other words, the natural law, the common law. But I will object to any rule that is in conflict with really common sense, common law rules. But anyway, Jen, I see you're back. You want to try now? Jen, are you hearing us? Terry, do you have any questions? Maybe you can ask questions if you have anything there. I don't know, maybe I'm not coming through.
No, I hear you.
Right. And maybe we'll go, let me see if anybody's in the queue. The Q&A is open. If anybody's got a question or a comment, anything they want to share, it is *601. We'll keep it in the queue for our phone. And if you're on an Apple browser, there should be a button to get into the queue. I don't see anybody in the queue right now, but we'll see what happens in the next minutes. Jen, are you back? Can you hear us yet?
Can you hear me now, John?
I can hear you.
Okay. The first question is, I have a common law trust. I do not have a copy. The registrar of deeds does not have a copy, so they say. So there's no way I can get a copy. How can I make a change to my trust? And the second part is, should I file my paperwork in the United States Claims Court in Washington, D.C.?
Well, if you have a common law trust, I'm getting some feedback. I don't know if anybody's got their mic open. Terry, I know you got your mic open. Yeah, I'm better now. If you have a common law trust, I don't understand why you don't have a copy of it, because you're the one that created it. You know, they do try to set up common law, lawyers try to set up common law trusts, but the way they settle up, it's just like a corporation. They, you know, you get exposed to everything that you shouldn't be exposed to. So I've done a common law trust, and I, you know, you give the basic paperwork to the bank in order to get, you know, your necessary account, but, you know, I don't file it anywhere else. The common law trust doesn't need to be filed anyplace else. I mean, you could if you want to, but you got to be careful on how much of what you're going to put in, because you're not supposed to expose the beneficiaries. So you got to be very careful with that. And I mean, I don't see a reason to file it anywhere other than the fact that you create it and you file it in your own records into your own safe and open up account so that you can do whatever business is necessary through that common law trust. We do teach people how to do a common law trust. You can find that under Education Starts Here. And if you come down to, let's see where we got that, come down to law and then come over to court forms and process. I believe we have information up here on creating a common law trust with instructions. Let's see, land patent. I know it's on this page somewhere. Let me just do a control search. Okay, here it is, common law trust. Okay. And if you're going to do a common law trust, it's strongly suggested that you take the NLA court access and the common law course, which is what we were looking at a little earlier, in order to understand the common law and how to access the courts. And you can click right here on that button there for details. See how far down this is. So it's pretty close to the top. Okay, yeah. Right under the paragraphs, here it is. But you click on that, and you go back to the place that I was just sharing a few minutes ago. This is the Court Access and Common Law course. Like I said, it costs $125. It's a 90-hour course, and it'll teach you the law, due process particularly, and also focuses a lot in on the common law, of course. And it deals also with the law that they try to apply upon us. I do have kind of a new strategy at this point, because they're getting a lot of conflict with this common law. You know, they'll get to give me the argument that this is not what common law is, you know, what we're producing, of course. They'll say common law is the decisions of trial courts, and nothing could be further from the truth. And so I took out a new strategy. I'm surprised I didn't think of this a little earlier. Instead of calling it a common law case, I think it's better to call it a court of natural law. So in order to do a court of record, you open up with a court of record and you do the definitions of that court of record as that which proceeds according to natural law or common law, also known as natural law. And then you can then bring up the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundation of our laws, which is the law of the land, that we're under the laws of nature and of nature's God. Then you can also refer to the Constitution. And focus in on the word law, because The only jurisdictions that we have given them the authority of is in equity and law. And equity is the legislative law, which would be regulations, statutes, and so on and so forth, that the government writes, the legislators. And that law is supposed to be in harmony with the rules of common law. And the rules of common law is simply, really, common sense. It's biblical law, common sense. And it's the laws of nature and of nature's God, which applies to that. So the fact that they wrote their own rules and apply it to, whether they have a case going which is in equity, or they try to claim it's in law, and it's still in civil law or equity, it's still in legislative law that they write. It's nevertheless, it's in conflict with the Constitution, and therefore in conflict with the law of the land. So it's very important to understand those things, especially if you're going to be in court. And if you're going to do a common law trust, you should have the basic understanding and understanding due process. And you want to be very careful, again, on how you prepare that. And again, we've written up quite a bit on this. On the page that I had showed you before, on Education Starts Here, come down to Law, and then you click on Court Forms and Process, and you'll find that information there. Okay, so I don't know how else to assist that person, because they didn't really give me enough information, and it sounds like they may have had a lawyer do it for them or something, because I don't understand why they would file it in the different places that they have filed it in. So, next question, Jim.
Okay, this pertains to all subordinates and bonds for the same. Since all government officials are required by law to have the above on record and on their version, is there a government agency that's responsible for keeping these records, and how might we find out? My reason is law enforcement judges, magistrates, court clerks, school board,
town hall, city council. Yeah, I'm having a hard time understanding you. You're kind of coming in a little gobbly. Can you back off of your mic a little bit and start all over?
I can move away a little. Is that better?
Well, we'll try that. I'm getting a little bit of it. Maybe I can get the whole question. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll do the whole thing. It pertains.
Do you have something running in the background, maybe, that's taking up a lot of RAM?
Nothing that I can hear.
Okay. All right. Anyway, go ahead. Try to ask the question again.
Okay. Oaths of office and bonds for the same. Since all government officials are required by law to have the above on record and on their person, is there a government agency responsible for keeping these records? And how might we find out? My reason is law enforcement, judges, magistrates, court clerks, school board, town hall, city, town supervisors, so forth.
All right, it sounds like you're talking about something about taking the oath of office, and I think the question is questioning whether everyone takes that oath of office, whether they're on a school board or whatever the case may be. Is that pretty much the question in a nutshell? And where would you find it? Yeah, I didn't get any of that. Is he just coming in gobbly to me, or is he coming in gobbly to everybody else?
A little garbly and hard to hear, but I can hear him well enough-ish.
Do you understand the question? Because I couldn't understand all of it. I know he was talking something about oaths, and I think the question had something to do with if everyone takes an oath, like even the boards, particularly school boards, for instance, and so on. And I think the other part of that question is where would you find them? Is that what you got out of that, Eric?
Yeah. Just about that much, yeah.
Okay. All right. You know, What you might want to do is go reboot your computer. I don't know, maybe you've had your computer on for a lot of days and it's kind of run up your RAM and it's just coming in quirky, but I don't know, it's really bad. But meanwhile, I'll respond to that question to see where we go from there. Everyone that holds any kind of an office of trust, and that would include school boards also, they need to take an oath, and that oath should be filed with the clerk, the court clerk, the county clerk ultimately, should be filed with the county clerk. And of course, it depends on, the oath. As far as the county clerk is concerned, that's where you would file at least anything on a county level. But as far as on a state level, I know when I tried to trace them out here in New York, I had trouble trying to find them. We did get a hold of some people down in New York City, and that's where the controlling factors, if I might call them, are. And they claim that their oaths are down there. Still couldn't get a copy of them. They just don't want to share them. The other thing is bonds. They have to have a bond also. They do have a collective bond. I don't know how much they participate with it as far as paying for that bond. And I'm kind of thinking that they probably let the people flip that entire bill. And that's a problem if that is the case. But it's difficult to get bonds and oaths from these people. And, I've even brought them into my court cases demanding to these oaths and bonds to be placed on the record. And no judge will enforce that, and they just ignore you. So they don't want you to have that because they're lawbreakers, and that's the big problem. And they don't want to get caught. So it is a problem. You'll have to try to search it out in your state. I'm sure it's different everywhere, maybe. I really don't know. It's confusing. Okay.
John, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, Terry, now, yeah.
Okay, I've been trying, and it hadn't gotten through, so I had to go out and come back in. Thank you very much. I'll be quiet.
Okay. Well, you're coming in nice and clear. Jan, let's try you again. And again, if anybody wants to get into the queue, star 601 if you're on a phone, and if you're on a app or a browser, should be a button there to get into the queue. Still nobody in the queue, so. But Jan, back to you.
That's all the questions, John.
So is this one question or two, whatever it was? Yeah, I think it was two. All right, well, I don't have anything particular. I can try to figure out something. I prefer having a conversation here. Okay, we do have one person in the queue. Anybody else wants to get in there? Now's the time to get in. But we'll take our first question. It's anonymous, so give us your first name and your state. And you should be under.
Yeah. Hello. Yes, hello, good evening. I'm Elizabeth, and I'm in Arizona.
Yep.
I was just trying to look on my computer because I saw something probably about 3 or 4 years ago where someone had snuck into some bill that you don't take oaths anymore. I was just trying to find it, but I probably copied it. It's probably on a different hard drive or something, but
well, that would be void in the law. I mean, not that they're going to apply the law. I mean, look at, these courts are far worse than anyone can possibly imagine. They have piled into these courts judges that have no clue of the law themselves, specifically on the state level. Not so much on the federal level, but the state level. Well, even on the federal level, too. I'm seeing a lot of them that don't even know the Constitution. This is shame on us because we don't require them to know the Constitution before they become, get on the ballot to become elected to whatever position they're running for or holding any kind of an office at all. But shame on us because we're not requiring that. But even if we require that, how can we know that they are obeying the Constitution, that they are obeying the law of the land, unless we know the law of the land and we know the Constitution and we quiz these people before we put them onto the ballot? And most people don't know how to get people onto the ballot. They don't even understand how they get onto the ballot. I mean, it's up to us to put them onto the ballot. And that's what one of the things we teach with the committees of safety. It's the people that are active in committees of safety that are the true committee men. And they're the ones that are supposed to be putting people onto the ballot. They're the ones that are supposed to be quizzing these individuals. We got to get this back into our schools. And anybody and everyone else needs to take these courses so that they know what's going on and understand what's going on. But I'll tell you, it's a frightening thing to go into these courtrooms and coming to realize that these people don't have a clue nor a concern about the people. They don't care about the law. They make it up as we go. You know, we've got a couple of morons up on the Supreme Court that have no clue and bring in all kinds of things that has nothing to do with who we are as a people. It's anti-constitutional, anti-Christianity, and it's just anti-common sense. But that's where we're at.
Yeah.
You know, so.
just one other thing I just wanted to mention is I saw on a report late last week that the Supreme Court is dark now, like it's been shut down. I haven't been able to confirm that, but
well,
anyway.
Reports. I get a report every day on what's going on with the Supreme Court, you know, through email. And, you know, anybody can sign up for that and just they give you the morning, you know, information.
During devolution, you know, and the media is still up there. So they're still acting like, you know, that I don't know, you know, it's just I kind of have to take that with a grain of salt and just, you know, but anyway, I've interrupted you.
No, well, it's hard to find out what the truth is these days. It really is. And with AI now, goodness, you know, I was just watching some information about Atlas up there that just went around Mars. And I'll tell you what, I'm totally lost now. I don't know the truth anymore because I don't even know what I'm watching is real. And it's really that bad. And you know, look at Congress is not doing their job. They're so busy trying to take care of their own business, making money, and just screwing over the people. They're not taking care of their job. And we need to fix this. We really need to fix this. And we have some major problems. And one of the major problems is we have to get rid of the Bar Association. We've got to go. And the original 13th Amendment empowers us to do so. We just have to get this administration to see and understand that and press the issue. And of course, we the people have to get the right people into Congress. This is a major problem. The other thing, America will never be fixed as long as we have political parties. That's just that's another major problem.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So if people follow the law, if they don't exercise their right of, of government by consent, which is getting involved in a county movement to create a committee of safety. If you don't get involved with those things, you don't know those things, you don't understand those things, you don't know how to put people into office, you don't know how to take people out of office, you don't know how to remove people on a board, like the Board of Education or any other board, even town boards. I mean, we can remove those people very quickly if people knew how to do it. But it does require courts of law. And that we do not have. As long as we have that Bar Association with their poison in our courts, which have destroyed our judicial process completely across America, in every court throughout the entire land, unless we get rid of the Bar Association, and the only way we can get rid of it is the resurrection of the original 13th Amendment, and that goes back to 1818 or 1819 when it finally became law. But if people don't know the law, it doesn't matter anyway, because they're just going to continue to do what they do. Almost everything they talk about, they shouldn't be talking about it. They shouldn't be debating our Second Amendment. They shouldn't be debating our First Amendment. They shouldn't be debating anything outside the 18 powers that we gave them to legislate law. So, but people don't know that. We've listed that out, what those powers are, what they can discuss and what they can, you know, work out to law. Anything beyond that, they don't have the authority. And all of civil law is unlawful. All of the rules of the court is unlawful. The rules of evidence, is unlawful. Everything they're doing is unlawful. And the people don't have a clue, and they continue to call us a democracy. That's destructive. No natural law republic can possibly survive a democracy, nor can it survive political parties, proven by the last 200 and some odd years, especially most recently in the past 50 or 60 years, however long it's been, actually goes all the way back to the Rules Enabling Act of 1934. So at least goes back to that. We are a total mess, and the people don't even know how bad it is. They have no clue. And so anyway, that's where we're at, and people need to wake up. We need to do something. You know, people need to support us. You need to get involved with committees of safety. You need to get your education. We've given the education. Everything you need here is education. We teach you how to create a committee of safety. You come up under Start a Committee of Safety. You come down to handbooks, videos, and tools. Okay, you can follow the breadcrumb trail on that. But you come down to that page, and here are a bunch of videos. They're short videos, maybe 20 to 30 minutes long, each one of these. And basically, it lays out the construction and how a committee of safety works. And then you have all the tools, all of the handbooks, free of download, to download them here, unless you want to buy a pocket handbook. We've got these in pocket handbooks up on Amazon. You can get that if you come under the Welcome tab and come down and click on Books by John Duresh. You know, you can get all those handbooks also here. I know $7, $8, $9. I think the most expensive one is $10 or something like that. But you can download all this for free also, PDFs. So look, if people don't want to do these things, then we don't want liberty. Our heritage is in the law, and our inheritance is liberty. And if you don't know your heritage, if you don't know the law, you don't even know what most of your liberties are. You know, we have a lot of rights that people have no clue that we have. And it's a mess.
It's also a mess because, I'm sorry. I can yield. It's not a problem. I'll come back.
Well, you're good. I can hear you.
Well, the thing is, I don't mean to be self-seeking about this, like looking for approval from people, because I'm not used to getting it very much these days. And it's wrong to do that. You know, it puts too much on people. But there aren't very many like-minded people around that really want to hear about this. I don't know. I've had to get into enough pain, but I've been looking at this before that, it really bothers me. I don't know. I can't speak for them, but it's just really, I have to keep my mouth shut, you know, pretty much, and just watch. And I don't really want to go into any government agencies right now. You know, it's just, they're really having a rough time. So, but anyway, yeah, thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to bring those topics up, and I'm still studying. So, and if I may say before I stop, it's really difficult for me at times. But then once I get into it, it makes a lot of sense, and it's like, you know, it just flows. But I'm not used to reading this type of material, and so it's good for me. I was one of those the new education out of the 70s where I was in the sixth grade, and they said, oh, we're going to go to the seventh grade reader and we're going to time you. And it just ruined my reading. I started to hate reading because they were timing us. Why would they time kids to see how long it takes them to read? You know, because my comprehension just went down, and I was so angry about that. But so reading has been a bit of a struggle for me. And, you know, I think that was deliberate. I think it was really stupid of them to do that. But that was the new, you know, the new math, the new reading, you know, and all that back in the 60s and 70s. But anyway, thank you for being there. I appreciate it. And I'll hang out.
Right. Well, look, education is a major problem. Teachers don't know how to teach. And that's absolutely true. Teachers don't know how to teach. They don't know how to capture the children. They need to be taught. And they're being taught by other people who don't know how to teach. So therein is the major problem. But all the problem really falls right back to the people, because once you know the truth and you understand the problem and you understand the solution, woe is us if we don't exercise that solution. And that solution brings us right back to education. We need to be educated. We need our children to be educated. It's so serious. Our children are so dumb. It's pathetic. It's pathetic how bad it is. You know, you send your children to school and they get demoralized and they're taught all kinds of silliness and anything but the Constitution. I mean, men will come in and teach them. They're dressed in dresses. And I mean, it's horrible. It's horrible.
It's really bad.
And, you know, we need to fix this problem. And even though most people won't fix it, well, we can leave them all behind if we can get some people who will fix it. And we have to teach our children so we get people that are growing up and having a sense of who they are as a people, who we are as a people, a sense and understanding that they have a duty to give back because they've been given such great liberty. Never before in the world has such great liberty been offered to people as it is today. But, you know, again, we have a problem. The good news is we don't have government by majority. That's the good news. We have government by the majority that participates. That's the good news. So if people want to at least get more people involved, tell people about National Liberty Alliance, send them out to our website, get them involved. All we need is the people that are interested in doing something. We only need, you know, I've done run these numbers before. I'll just run them again. I should know them by heart. But we got about 3,000, roughly 3,000 counties. So I'll multiply it by 50 people. We could probably do 40, but 50 people. It's 150,000 people, you know. So we have, I don't know what the population is at this point. It is somewhere around 340 or 50 million. Or if anybody knows, they can pipe it up. But in any event of that, we only need 150,000 people, about 40 to 50 people in every county. And they will and can take care of business because they can put the right people. They can have the desire to go and get an education. They can have the desire to start holding their representatives, you know, responsible, to be obedient to the Constitution, demanding a copy of their oaths, I want to know, what do you know about the Constitution? You know, tell me about the Fifth Amendment. What does that mean to you? I mean, you probably get deer, you know, eyes, deer eyes caught in the headlights or something. I mean, they don't know. They don't know. I mean, how can they govern us? How can they be obedient to the Constitution if they don't know? We can require them to know. And if they're in office already, we can still require them to know, because we can tell them, hey, look, you got so many days or so many weeks or so many months to take care of business and learn the Constitution and come back and answer our questions and get it right. Otherwise, we're going to recall you, because you have the power of recall. But one person can't do this. You need 40 or 50 people in a county in order to control this whole process. Right now, everything is controlled by four people in every county. That's it, four or five people. Every county is controlled by only a small handful of people. And they may have, you know, each county may have 50, 60, or 30, or 40 committee men, and they send them out to walk all of the paperwork and get these people on the ballots. And then you get the chance to go out and vote for the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left. It's your choice, whatever one you want. You want to hire the guy that's walking around with a Bible who doesn't even believe in it, or do you want to hire the other one that's walking around with a dress and whatever it is that they're doing? I mean, it is so sad, and it's our fault at this point. It's no longer an excuse that we didn't know, that we can't know, that we don't know. No, now there is no excuse. It's out there. And woe is us if we don't get and take this knowledge and move with it and take back this great nation and return it back to where it belongs and bring back the King of the Court, which is Jesus Christ. Our founding fathers was absolutely clear about this, the laws of nature and of nature's God. That brings us right back to the Bible. And our founding fathers were clear on this, so clear, as a matter of fact, and I know I've mentioned this many times, Jefferson and Franklin were to do the seal, the United States seal. And one of them came up with Moses holding up the rod and dividing the Red Sea, and Israel going across the Red Sea, and the water coming and closing up on the enemy behind them. The other one came in with, you know, that fire that separated, a pillar of fire that separated Egyptians from Israel before they went across the sea. So those two seals by those two individuals tell us exactly who we are. And the foundation of our law, the Declaration of Independence, is a covenant with God and tells us exactly what our law is. And the Constitution tells us what the law of the land is. It's natural law and equity, also governed by the rules of natural law, which again brings us back to natural law. They have those rules, you know, those are rules that they make, or even all the legislation that they write has to conform to common sense, to the Christian values. It doesn't really get difficult because law is, I get back to it, natural law is just common sense, the law of the heart. Water does not run uphill. All men are created equal. Who can argue at any of those points? You can't argue. It's self-evident truths. So, anyway, that's where we're at. Okay, we'll take our next person. We're done, Elizabeth, right? Okay, we'll take our next person, Paul. Let's see. It's looks like Michael. Is that Michael? Anyway, what state you're from? What's your first name? 603 area code. You've been unmuted. You're muted on your side, it looks like. There you go. You're unmuted now. What's your first name and your state? Not getting anything. And by the way, we still have...
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now. By the way, we only have two people in the queue. Anybody wants to get into the queue, if you're on a phone, star 601. If you're on an app or a browser, there should be a button. Yeah, what's your first name and your state? Go ahead.
Can you hear me, Tom?
We can hear you. Oh, how you doing?
Okay. It's not Mike. It's Rich.
I see Rich. Yeah. I know your voice.
No. It's in my brother's name, the phone. So.
Right.
Anyway, I got two things I want to talk about, but not tonight. I want to ask you to choose one. One is the militia, and the other one is taxes. Which one would you like to address? Because I'd like to have a discussion on the matter with you and other people if you're interested in doing that.
Sure.
Which one would you like me to discuss?
Well, I think the taxes is probably the best one to look at now. We can look at both of them, really. We'll see how time goes. But we do. Let's do one topic, and then if you
want to stick to the taxes,
I'll move to the next caller and then come back to you. But go ahead, taxes.
I've been dealing with this openly because the last person I'm afraid of is the IRS. They can come after me all they want. However, I haven't paid taxes in 15 years, and you are in part responsible for that. I'm not blaming you. I was with the, you know, Bob Schultz's outfit, We the People Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So I started learning about that, I don't know, 25 or 30 years ago. It took me a while to get up the courage to do it, but I did it. My issue is, and I hope people that are, I don't know how many people are on the line, but I hope when they're listening, they spread the word, because the only thing holding people back from stopping the payment of taxes on their paycheck is fear. And there's nothing to be afraid of, because there's no law compelling anybody to pay a tax on their time and labor. And let me explain, because I want to be real clear about this. In the Constitution, in Article 1, Section 9, Clause 4, it says specifically, no capitation or other direct tax shall be laid unless in proportion to the census. The only way they can directly tax you is in proportion to the census. That's the only way. Anything else, according to Clause 6, Paragraph 2, is repugnant or contrary to the Constitution and notwithstanding the law. So
let me add something.
People, I got this Freedom Law School And I admire the guy's courage for coming out. He's got national advertisements, but he charges people. I've helped 6 or 7 people. I know that's not a lot. Stop the payment of their taxes, and I don't charge them a nickel because I'm not looking for money. I'm looking to help the next generation get out from under this mess. And I want to say clearly, John, please allow me just to go through my spiel. Mm-hmm. So it won't be long.
Yeah.
The Race Commission was convened a long, long time ago under Reagan. And the purpose of that commission was to determine what taxes go where. And it was determined that the taxes collected from a people's paycheck go directly to pay the interest on the debt. Now, the entity that holds that debt is the Federal Reserve Bank, because they print the money and charge us interest for it. It's a privately owned bank. The prime stockholders are the Rothschilds, the Schiffs, Goldman Sachs, and other aristocrats or royalty from Europe, largely or mostly. Why would we pay people like that to kill us? Because that's just what they're trying to do with the COVID-19 shots, the 9/11 taking us down, poisoning our air, water, and food. And I know I'm getting a little bit long-winded in this, and I'm going to try not to be. But just I want people to consider one thing. What do you think it would be like if you stopped those taxes lawfully, because you don't have any obligation to pay it? And all of us did it collectively as a movement. And then, and I'm not asking NLA for NLA's endorsement. I'm simply asking for a conversation on the matter. So just let me clear that up. What do you think it would be like for your respective communities out there to put the money back into your communities instead of sending it to Europe or some, God knows where? And that's been done since 1933. I mean, it's ridiculous how much money we've sent these people, trillions of dollars over the years. These are some of the things I'm talking about that people don't want to listen to me because I'm a nobody, and that's okay. But I have studied the law. Believe me, I've studied the law. I'm no expert, John, and I don't think I can hold a candle to you with a lot of things that you know. But as far as the Constitution, I'll go toe-to-toe with you. Now, that's not a challenge, by the way. I know that you're very well-versed. I'm saying I'm as familiar as can be with the Constitution, and I see that the law is on our side. When are we going to stand up and stop consenting? In this country, and I'm not going to make an issue of this, but I do want to make a comment on it. You don't need a driver's license in the United States of America. And I found 33 custom and usage cases, otherwise known as case law, to support that argument. The people that have a driver's license did it voluntarily. No one from the government came to you when you were about 16 and said, you have to have a driver's license. You said, and I said, hey, my buddy Billy or Mary or somebody, they got their license, so I can't wait to get mine, when I'm 16 or 16 and a half or whatever it is. So we went out and got it voluntarily. Stop volunteering. Your servant government doesn't dictate what you do. And I'll tell you what, look at Thompson versus Smith, if you don't believe me. It says very clearly, you don't need a driver's license to operate your car on the public roads. And also the police can't interfere with you because those public roads belong to you. Same with a marriage license, same with a dog license, same with a gun permit. How come some of the states have a permit requirement when the supreme law of the land, Second Amendment, says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed? A permit's an infringement. You can't do it. It's notwithstanding in law. The point I'm trying to get across to everybody that's listening here is stop consenting. Have the courage to do it. If you don't have the courage, something pretty bad may be happening in this country. And I'm not suggesting it is. I don't know. I'm just, forgive my speech, okay? I'm just Joe Shit the Ragman here. I don't know. It's way over my head. I don't control anything but my little life. But if we all took charge of our life and stopped consenting, maybe we could move the marker, you know, move that bar a little bit higher. Anyway, I think I've covered the bases, but if you want to discuss it a little further, I'd be happy to stay on, John.
Yeah, well, one of the problems, of course, is that, you know, our children growing up don't know these things, and most of us don't know these things because we don't know the law. And I will say this, if you're going to challenge taxes, you better get a good understanding on how things work. You got to understand the strategies. We found some great strategies to deal with this. But you also have to know the law, because you're not going to get any, you know, you will get pulled into court if you don't know how to keep yourself out of the court, okay? Because you can keep yourself out of the court. It's really pretty simple. You know, you never let an IRS letter come to you unresponded to. You must respond to everything they send you. And I don't get into details. I don't make an argument. I don't tell them about the law. I just let it be known, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't know that I owe taxes. You know, send me, you know, there are two forms that they have to send you in order to come after you. One, you know, that they have to file with the courts, which they don't file. But when you bring them to the surface, they know that they have to file them. They can't file them. And therefore, they don't know what to do. Okay. You know, one of it is proof of what do they call it? Not debt, but
claim.
Proof of claim. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Proof of claim and fiduciary authority.
Proof
okay,
of claim, yeah.
You have either of them. One's a form 46, and the other one's 4490. And was it 56? Boy, it's been a while since I spoke about this. I think it's Form 56. So I'll have to look it up. But also the 4490. And you could just put in proof of claim. You'll find the form that way. Or you can put in fiduciary authority. It's an IRS form. And any government agency coming at you for any reason when it comes to money, they have to fill those two forms out. And they have to file it in the federal court system within the district, you know, your federal district that you live in. Okay, so they never do that. And so what I do is I always write a very, very short letter, and I'm perplexed by, you know, they're asking me for that I owe money. You know, where is this at? I don't understand. If I want to pay my taxes, I will pay taxes. If I'm liable for taxes, I do want to pay them. I tell them this in the letter.
Very short. I do too.
Very short. Just, you know, send me the information so I can look into this, because I don't know what you're talking about.
Here's what I've said to him, John.
Hold on. Let me tell you what happens to me here, and probably the same thing with you, so people understand this. They always tell you they need 3 months, you know, 90 days to respond, okay? And what will happen after 90 days, they'll send you another letter saying, well, we still haven't been able to look in deep enough into this, or some BS thing. And, you know, please give us some more time. So they can have all the time they want. Then they'll go away for a year or two. Then they'll come back and do the whole thing all over again. And I've been doing this for over 25 years now. Not necessarily the same way. In the beginning, I used to debate them. I realized that doesn't get you anywhere. It gets you into trouble. It doesn't fix the problem. What fixes the problem is the fact that they need to file these papers. And in order to file these papers, someone has to put their John Hancock on it, because it is an affidavit form that they must file. Okay? And without that affidavit form, they're kind of stuck. And when they know you know that, that's a problem to them. So that has been something that I've been using for quite some time. Now, I have gone into court on one occasion. Okay, they brought me into court, and we went through the battle. I only had one hearing, and I filed some papers in the court, and that was it. I did win that case. They just stopped and didn't bother me no more. The IRS sent me an apology letter, and they sent me a release of lien. I think it was $150,000, whatever it was that they're chasing me for, and that was that. Okay, so but the as far as the court case goes, though, they kind of let that fall into limbo. Maybe that was part of my fault too, because I got all of those things from the IRS, and I figured, I won the case. But in any event, so I don't know what's up on those cases as far as what's on the record. Okay, so but the point is this: if you don't know due process, which we teach, and again, right here, education starts here. Come down here to court access and the common law. Click on that, look into that, take the course, because you're not going to get a lawyer, even a lawyer that's not even a bar lawyer, okay, if they can get into the courts, which they give them a hard time, you know, they're not gonna represent you, okay? They're gonna play ball and play with their statutes, and you're gonna just lose, and that'll be that. So if you go in by yourself and you don't know what you're doing and you don't know how the court process works and how due process works and how you got to respond to these things and have the knowledge of what they're saying and what they're doing and what you can say and what you can do to really hold them at bay, if you don't know those things, you're in trouble. So you have to learn them, and we teach all those things. We teach them at the
court. Let me just comment, John, though, because
sure.
I don't want to get too far afield, but I have used one tactic, and it's worked so far with the people that have helped. I've written 9 letters for one gentleman in Baltimore who asked me for help, and I wrote the letters for him. He signed his name to it, basically. He had it notarized and mailed it in. And all I put down on these forms is, to me, it's very simple. Please provide me with the law that compels me to pay a tax on my time and labor, and I'll be happy to comply, period. Because it's not income. I don't even use that word. And I tell them sometimes that you must be mistaken because I don't owe any income. I have no income to report to you. And even if I did, it still would be contrary or repugnant to the Constitution and notwithstanding in law. So what the hell difference does it make? And I'm prepared, because I know what a crooked court we have, John. Believe me, I do. They're like, you might as well just hang Thompson submachine guns on their shoulder. It's like highway robbery when you go into a court. I'm prepared to go to jail. I don't care. I mean, I do care. I don't mean it that
way. Yeah, but a lot of people aren't prepared, and they don't want to go to jail. And
I don't either, John, but I'm prepared to stand up for my rights, because if I don't, no one else will. There's no one around in America that's going to do it. And lawyers, I'd go into court myself. I don't need a lawyer.
Well, let me tell you, I did fight them the way you just talked about it. You know, arguing the law, wearing the Constitution, you know, talk about direct tax. There's no direct tax, blah, 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 blah. Talk about the 16th Amendment, and I bring forth quite a few Supreme Court rulings concerning the 16th Amendment that is not law to begin with, okay? And because the 16th Amendment is repugnant.
It was shut down.
Yeah. Yeah, it was never truly passed, okay? This is so that was another problem with that. And besides that, the United States Supreme Court said that, well, it doesn't change anything. It just brings things back to where it belongs, because it's really a corporate tax. It has nothing to do with the people, okay?
Right.
And what's the good news here is this. Trump understands this. This is, if anything Trump understands, he understands this subject. He is going to get rid of the income tax. He's going to get rid of the Federal Reserve, and he's bringing in money from a different perspective, you know, from tariffs. And once you have tariffs, there's plenty of money. As a matter of fact, when there's excess money, it'll go back to the people, and you'll get a stimulus check. And Trump is setting the stage for this kind of thing right now. He's already set up to move back to gold and silver. That whole economy and system is already set and ready to go. And
I just believe that, excuse me, John, but I just believe that, because I'm not a person to sit here and let somebody take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to say it. It's we, the people who wrote the Constitution, because we did. It was our substitutes and agents at the convention that wrote that Constitution in our behalf. That's why it says we, the people, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this Constitution for Washington, D.C. to obey. That's the way it's written. So if we are going to do something about it because Washington works for us, or they're supposed to, I know how out of control it is, but wouldn't it behoove us to do something? And this is just for conversation's sake. I'm not asking for an endorsement.
No, the
problem. Wouldn't it behoove us to do something, regardless of what it is, do something to help this cause along, nonviolent, I'm talking about, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, the problem is, it gets back to the same thing, ignorance. People don't know enough. They don't understand enough, and they don't seem to want to. And look, this is, to some degree, it's not the people's fault. But to another degree, it is the people's fault. It wasn't the people's fault until we didn't get all this information that we have here at National Liberty Alliance and various other websites that do give a lot of good information. Okay, so we have that information there. The problem is we're not teaching it in our schools. We're not requiring our representatives to know the Constitution. And we're not taking care of our own business and law. We're depending on criminal bar attorneys. Look at, I'm telling you, these people are interested in nothing but money. I remember this one lawyer I was talking to in my stupid days and trying to, and he was so busy on the phone taking phone calls while I was in there discussing my business and talking with other people. He sounded like a big shot and I lost that case. The guy didn't do anything for me. And I had a strong case, but in any event, that was a long time ago. But I've learned that these people are evil, they're crooked, they want money, that's all they're interested in. That's what they're taught in law school, there's big, big dollars in this, and they make their money, and they don't care about you. They make your money whether you win or lose, they make their money. They don't care, all right? And besides that, the bar attorneys are the minions of the New World Order. They're the ones that created this problem. The ones in those minions of the New World Order, the bar attorneys on a higher level that understand this, they're the most evil. But everyone else, a lot of people down there, they're like foot soldiers. They're taught, they believe, they're true believers, they truly believe we're under Roman law. They deny the fact that we're under a Christian government. They think we're under Roman government, that we're created after Rome, okay? They've turned the whole thing upside down. They put us under civil law. They've taken away so many of our rights. I mean, look at how much they shut us down during the pandemic, and even after that. Now the other side is talking about that, we're going to take power back in 2029. We'll take the House back, and we're going to take the. I mean, they're really delusional to begin with, okay? But that's what they're talking about. And I just heard on the news today. I don't remember the guy's name, but he's a well-known individual. I know it was a husband and wife team. It was kind of weird because one was in a Democrat and the other was a Republican. They fought like cats and dogs. I can't believe they were together. But maybe the whole thing was just a game anyway to them. But the thing is that they're talking about they got to take it back, and what they got to do is they got to kind of tar and feather us. They didn't use that particular words, but there's something similar to that, that we have to be taught a lesson, that we're a danger to democracy. And they're talking about Republicans. I mean, that's how far we have gone. That's how bad it has gotten to. Okay? I'm not surprised about that because these people are stuck between, a rock and a hard place. They're about to go to jail. Some of them is going to end up on the end of a short rope. Justice is coming. It's a matter of time. It's on its way. It's starting to bubble up already. Take it back. Well, I'm absolutely convinced of what I'm talking about. It's not that I think I really am convinced. Truth is found through consistency. And if you listen long enough to individuals and things being brought forth, and as long as there's constant harmony, okay, and there's consistency, well, then you found truth, because that's a biblical principle, that truth is self-evident, okay? And so in any event, these are the problems we have. When they take you and they tell you you can't drive, you were talking about getting rid of a driver's license, they're putting commercial law on you. That has nothing to do with us. It's traffic law. It's nothing to do with we the people. It has to do with anybody operating commercial activities. So I agree with you on that. You can win those cases, but you have to have the strategy. You have to understand due process. You have to know how to move it. You have to know how to file the papers into that court, particular court, for instance. It's usually a town court or a village court that you got the ticket in. Okay, so you got to know how to deal with that. There's three or four particular papers you have to file in that court. You give them one chance to do the right thing, and then you move it into the state court. And if the state court doesn't do the right thing, you move it into the federal court for cause. And there's a process to move through this. They can't win if you can get to the point where you get a jury, because I always look for a jury trial. If you can get to that point, you can't win. Last case I did, they defaulted. And they're trying like heck to try to get out of that default. And they've been going for 8 months now trying to get out of that default. And the judge is a crooked judge, just like all the other judges. They're all lost, and they're crooked. They're evil. They're all, look at, they shut down every single judge in America. Every single one of them, they shut down the courts of justice. They have closed the doors. You can't get into a court of justice. That makes them guilty of treason. They're evil. They're destroying this nation. They've destroyed our courts. They destroyed our law. And they want to destroy us.
So, I think that it's incumbent upon us to push back in any way that we can. And I mentioned to you, I think, a couple of years ago about the First Amendment auditors. And I can tell you, because I've been watching them for years, when they first started, a lot of people were getting arrested. Now, the police know the law, at least the First Amendment, freedom of the press. They don't bother these guys. A couple of idiots out there, cops do. But for the most part, the cops know the law now because they've been taken to court and they've won these cases.
Well,
and this is why I mentioned before about...
I don't think enough of
them. I'm sorry?
A few of them may, but not enough of them. There's so much work for us to do. The people have to get involved. Look, it says it right on our front page of our website. This was the focus of everything we do here. Only the people can save America. It's up to the people. Only they can do it. They seem to think, unfortunately, because we're ignorant to how these things work, it's unfortunate they think that Donald Trump can save America, put us back on the right course, and we can go to sleep and enjoy the fruits of the land. And nothing could be further from the truth. It's a lie from hell. You can't happen. He can give it back to you. He can give us our nation back, but we have to receive it. We have to exercise our rights of having government by consent. And government by consent requires your time and a few dollars to take care of business, get involved with Committee of Safety, and start taking control of these people and put them on notice. Obey the Constitution, or we're going to take you out of office. And if you don't know the Constitution, don't even think about coming to ask us to help you get onto the ballot, because that's what the Committee of Safety does. The committeemen put people onto the ballots, and they take them off the ballots. People don't know that. We have party bosses doing that, two different parties, particularly the Republican and Democrat parties. It's the evil on the right or the evil on the left. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing. It's just
right, but with everything you're saying, John, let me just put this in. I'm still a believer about pushing back, because everything can't be, I can't do this, I can't do that. It's got to be, no, let's get together and let's start pushing back. And I'm not talking about some type of an insurrection or anything. I'm talking about stop consenting.
But you have to learn the law before they can stop consenting, because they become just a target at that point. They're defenseless, and no lawyer will defend them properly, and they'll end themselves in trouble. And that is the problem. There are a lot of people out there teaching this kind of thing. They tell people, you know, to not get a license, to get rid of your birth certificate. I mean, some people go really extreme to that point. And I understand what they're talking about. I came into this conversation, so to speak, many years ago from that perspective, believing that until, you know, that I just saw too many contradictions. And I said to myself, well, I got to go figure this out myself. And then you start to do the research. And that's what I've done, 15, 20 years of research now at this point, well, over 15 years anyway. 15 years of research, which brought me to the knowledge of the real truth and how to deal with this problem. So anybody that wants to do what you're talking about, I definitely agree everyone should be doing this, but you can't do it if you're not educated, if you can't defend yourself.
I'm not advocating for just going out and doing it. I'm saying that they should be educated. But I also think, I hope, that the people listening in on this call, whether it be tonight or tomorrow or next week or whenever, they should know the Constitution because they've been with NLA. I owe a lot to NLA. I'm not advocating anything but stop consenting. You don't have to comply with something that isn't lawful. They've gone well beyond Article 1, Section 8 in the Constitution. It's a corporatocracy, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. It's a corporate government we have now, and they've totally taken over. They're on steroids, these people. And I mean that literally and figuratively. They've stolen $37 trillion. They've killed millions of people with COVID. They brought down 9/11 for God knows what reason. I know one was asbestos. I don't know what in the buildings, and it cost them multi-billions of dollars to take it out. Then you got examples like Ruby Ridge and Waco and so many other things that you hear about across the country. When are we going to push back against this out-of-control government? That's all I'm saying. I don't have the answers, John, and I know you don't either, and I'm not asking for your blessing, NLA's.
Well, I do believe we do have the answers here. It gets back to the people, because we have an administration that appears to be honest, appears to be true patriots, who appears to want to do something, and I listen very careful to these people when they talk and what they're doing, okay? And we send them different paperwork also. So, you know, just go to our front page and you can see the paperwork that we've sent to the president and to Bondi and to Cash Patel. Okay, we did presentments to these people. We're educating these people. Now, we're going to see where they go. You know, the last paper we sent in, I sent with some videos, and I also sent places where they can go get these videos online. But I actually downloaded the videos and I put them onto a thumb drive with a lot of paperwork and different evidence. There is a video out there done by a guy who is definitely very intelligent, very consistent in his research. He's got the education. He's got doctrines. So he's studied these things, and he did a lot of forensic work on the assassination. For instance, he done on the potential assassination of Trump, and he came up with a lot of great stuff, a lot of evidence. And also he did it on Charlie's assassination. And he picked up that there was another shooter. Got that on videotape. There is another shooter that with the cameras, you know, all the people were taken. He was collecting all this evidence, and he examined all of these videos, you know, that were taken by many people, you know, frame by frame. And he picked up another shooter. And the shooter that shot... The guy that they claimed to shoot that shot Charlie definitely did not shoot him. He was part of the plan probably, and since the first shot took out from someplace else, he just got up and ran. Okay, and a lot of that doesn't even make sense. I don't even understand. He took the gun apart and also in order to get off the roof, then he drops it off in the woods somewhere, but he puts it back together before he does that. I mean, it's just none of that makes any sense at all to begin with. So I don't even know what's going on there. But there is a video with another shooter. And this guy has worked out the forensics on this, medically speaking. And also he's an expert in guns and weaponry and things of that nature. And he laid out the angle of the shot from that particular place. And that was perfect alignment with a bullet that went into him and didn't come out because it went down on him. It was a higher end shot from a different... angle, in opposed to a lower angle, which that bullet, if it was shot by that kid, it should have went through his neck and out the other side. But it didn't happen that way. It went down into his body, and that aligned with also the mortician.
What I've heard, John, is that it was a lapel mic that exploded.
No, it
was designed to explode. But either way, the whatever the narrative was that they came out with isn't happening. And I only wanted to stimulate a conversation between myself, you, and people listening, so they might want to chime in. So I'm going to get off and listen to what other people have to say.
Next week, I'm going to get that video and I'm going to play it, and I'm going to show you that everything lines up with the shooting that this guy did. I know there are lots of different ideas and thoughts and an exploding mic or something that shoots a bullet out and you know, a lot of other things. But the only one that actually works as far as with the autopsy, that was the word I was looking for, that lines up with the autopsy, because there is an autopsy report, and that's already been out onto the Internet. A lot of people think it's not out there. They didn't do an autopsy. They definitely did. Okay, and that autopsy report, this guy got a hold of that autopsy report, and he laid out the medical, how that autopsy report lined up with that one shooter who was on another building Okay, so I'll play that. People can make their own decisions. But the point, getting back to is this, okay, there is something wrong with this because I don't know why. I mean, we sent this video to Cash Patel. We sent it to Bondi. We sent it to Trump. Okay, so and his whole, most of his administration. So we sent all this information out. We haven't heard anything back, not that we're expecting to hear anything back, but we are expecting to hear some change in the strategy of what's going on. Or maybe they can't talk about it right now. That could make a lot of sense, too. So we got to give them the benefit of the doubt because they all do seem to be good people. They all have been fighting the battle before they even became part of this administration. Trump chose a great team. So I think we're in good shape with that. But just real quick, just to tie up some loose ends here, direct tax is the key to the Constitution. Therefore, income taxes is not lawful, and they can only do a tax on a head count, and so that has to be paid by the state, and the state has to find a lawful way to collect that money, and that would be, of course, through sales tax. Okay, so they can run sales tax because that's a lawful tax, and then they can pay the collectiveness of the how many individuals within that state and so much per head, and then they have to pay that to the federal government, and that's the lawful tax. Okay, a direct tax is anything that they can't tax your property, they can't tax you as a person, your work, or any of that. Okay, that's what no direct tax means. Okay, again, if you don't learn due process and you don't know the law and you don't know the Constitution, which is the law of the land, if you don't know these things, we can't fix this problem.
No, and I know due process, John. What I don't know is the Mickey Mouse courthouse rules that exist in our country today. I haven't been in court since,
They change them all the time. Whatever you do, you go in. They literally make it up as they go. They will hold a particular position or one of their laws or their rules. They'll hold it in this case this way because it benefits them, and they'll go the totally opposite direction in another case because it doesn't benefit them. That's how evil it is, and people better wake up to it. Wake up to it. Because you may find yourself in court one day, and you need to be able to deal with this and be able to prevent them from taking you out, so to speak, because they will destroy your life, and they don't think anything, and they go to sleep like babies at night. Well,
all right, listen, John, I appreciate the conversation, but I'd like to get off so that other people can have a say. I'll mute myself and then listen in, that's all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Rich. Anyway, we do have a couple more people in the queue. Anybody else wants to get into the queue? Star 6 and a 1. If you're on a phone, if you're on an app or a browser, should be a button. Our next is John. Hey, how you doing, John? Good to see you. You got the mic. John from Michigan.
Hey, John. Hey, where is our enforcement? I mean, we're talking about we've put beautiful paper in. We've made all our points. I agree with you 100%. And they ignore us, okay? I mean, I've heard a lot of people say, well, we're going to do this or that and the other thing, and then when they refuse or they ignore you, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to do this and that and the other thing. I says, and when they refuse to ignore you, where are you going to go? I mean, we've got a right to travel. We have a right not to have to pay taxes on for money we don't owe. We have a money right not to have anything but gold or silver coin, a tender payment of debt by the Constitution, all this stuff, and they're ignoring it. Where is our enforcement?
Well, you can win some cases. For instance, again, I'm going to open a page up to give you some information on this. Under Education Starts Here, come down to law and come over to court forms and process. As far as the right to travel, there is a process. You can you got to follow this to the letter. And the other thing is when you serve these people, you do not want to serve them through the mail and have someone do a certificate of service. Because they always play games with that. You go get the sheriff and have the sheriff serve it, and then that's out. They can't say you didn't serve them correctly or they didn't receive it because of this one BS thing or another, you know.
So local level with the county or the state?
Huh?
You're talking about local level with the county, or are you talking about with the state?
Yeah, I'm talking about dealing with traffic court. Okay, we lay out a plan to deal with traffic court. The only thing I would add to this plan is that you want to do a you want to have served your papers to them when you move to another court. You want to serve papers because you can't count. You're going to sue them in another court, and you're going to sue them for denial of due process. That's what you sue them for, because when you go into their courts, their kangaroo courts, they don't give you a jury, and they take your money without a jury. They don't have that power or authority to do that. Okay, they're in Nisi Prius court. They do not even have the power to do that anyway. Okay, you have to be only the people can take your things away from you. And those people are called the jury in a court of law through due process. And when they don't give you due process and they railroad you down the line trying to get the money out of you or whatever they can get out of you, or maybe you're in there for something else and they're trying to put you in jail and they think they could do that without an indictment, and they go on and on and on with all this stuff. Well, you can stop them if you do it properly. You got to file the papers. You give them one chance. I used to give them a lot of chances. And that doesn't work, okay, because it figured, well, you know, again, I learned as you go, all right? I give them one chance. You deny, you've got to give me my due process, and when they deny you due process, then I sue them right there with a counter suit for a denial of due process. They'll reject that and deny that, move it into state court, and then you're going to fight and battle it there. And the only thing you're going to argue there, the Supreme Court here in New York told me, well, no, oh, wait a second, you can't file this here because we don't do traffic law. I said, it has nothing to do with traffic law. This is a denial of due process, okay? And that caught them tongue-tied. They didn't know what to do with that. And then the case went through. And I was doing, at that point, I was doing a, they had also already defaulted, so I was doing the default. And those judges, they're just constantly trying to just stick up for the other side and throw me out. But I'm still in. I'm still in. And they really can't battle if you do it right. But you got to be careful. One little mistake and you're out of there. Then you have to go do the whole thing all over again. So there is a chance to win on that if you want to make the battle. But you can't make that battle if you don't know what due process is. And that's why you need to take a course to do that. You got two choices. You can go to a bar school and give them $200,000 or $175,000, whatever it is, the cost them to go through their course. They're not going to teach you much about the Constitution. They're going to teach you about statutes. They will teach you due process. You'll learn that. But they'll teach you about statutes. They're not going to teach you about the law of the land. They're not going to teach you about natural law or any of those things. Okay? And then you're going to have to figure that out on your own. Or you can get a course which is far more superior to theirs. It's a 90-hour course. Only $125, and you're going to learn all the paperwork, you're going to learn all the forms, you're going to learn how to get them, you're going to learn how to file, to open up a court of record, you're going to be able to go in there and do your own business, take care of these things. Now, it does take a while to learn to write, but we do give a lot of papers that, you know, that are the kind of forms that you can, like dealing with traffic court, you can follow that process. I don't know whether, I don't think I put anything up on the IRS. I should probably put something up there. We do talk about that. I would never argue the law with the IRS, never. I mean, I did for many years, didn't get anywhere, ended up in court, okay? But then just at the right time, I learned the right thing and brought those things up into the court. You know, you bring a paper in and, you know, the Form 4490 or the Form 56, one is proof of claim, and the other one is fiduciary authority. And when I waived that in court, so to speak, and said, there is no forms, I went down to the federal courthouse, which is the federal courthouse I was in already. I went downstairs in this federal courthouse, and they don't exist. And therefore, this whole case is unlawful. They have to have an affidavit form showing proof of claim, and they don't have it in this case.
When you said that, did the judge say dismissed, or did he ask them for it? What was the situation?
They were coming at me for $150,000, claiming I owed the IRS $150,000, and it was in their courtroom. And so we took it, they took it, At that point in time, you know, the judge said, well, I'm going to give you some time. You can write a paper, so on and so forth. He gave me, you know, 30 days or whatever it was. I said, I don't need 30 days. I'll have it in by the end of the week. He said, no, you can take it. No, I'll have it in at the end of the week. I found out there was a game going on there with that anyway. But anyway, I got the paper in by the end of the week, which just laid out that part of the case, okay? And 2 weeks later, I got a letter from the IRS, which was an apology letter, and I got a release of lien for $150,000 or $160,000. I forget exactly what it was. They gave me the release of lien, and my case was over. Now, prior to that, I was battling them on the law, and they don't care about the law, okay? But they do have a problem in order to continue that case without an affidavit. An affidavit rules the court. Without an affidavit, you can't even open a court of record. You can't open any court. The government has to have, you know, some kind of an affidavit to come after you. Maybe if it's criminal, they have to have an indictment, okay? And so
have they left you alone?
What was that?
After that, have they left you alone?
Well, they left me alone for a couple of years, and then they came back again, and that's when I send in papers. You know, they send me papers saying, hey, what they did is they left like $50 on, and over the course of 2 years, that grew to I don't know how many thousands of dollars, and then they send me this paper, you know, this letter telling me I owed his taxes, so on and so forth. And I wrote I wrote a letter back, and I do everything on affidavits. I affidavit everything, the letter and everything. I put it in an affidavit form. So I sent the letter back. I sent a letter back to them concerning the letter. I attached that letter, and I said, "You say I owe you so much money, but I don't recall anything like that. I never earned that kind of money as far as you're talking about. And you know, I don't see you're going to have to." And I'll give them a copy of the form 4490 and the form 56. Fiduciary authority, proof of claim. I send a copy with it. I said, please fill out the form. Give me all the information I need so I can investigate this because I do want to pay my taxes. If I owe you taxes, if I owe the IRS taxes, I do want to pay the taxes. So I agree with them, and then now they have to respond to me. Now, they say in the letter, that they'll, when you respond, they send you a letter right after that and say, we need 90 days. So, okay. Because, you know, the regular person sending this out is sort of robo thing. They do robo signing on it. And it has to go to somebody eventually who has to sit and think about this and look at the letter and respond accordingly. And it's not a form letter that they can respond to me because they don't have a form letter to respond to me. So after 90 days, I'll get another letter from them and they'll say, oh, we need more time. Give us another 90 days. And then I don't hear from them again for a year. And then maybe two. Then they came after my wife. I did the same thing. They came after my son. I did the same thing. And it hasn't gone anywhere because they can't go forward without an affidavit to open the court. And if people don't realize that, they're going to open a court without an affidavit. They're going to come after you without an affidavit. They're going to take your things and they're going to put you in jail. Whatever it is they want to do to you, they're going to do. Because you don't know what you're doing. And you don't know the law, and you don't understand this, and you ain't getting a lawyer that's going to defend you on this. They're frightened themselves because they know the IRS. They don't play ball. They can lose their bar license, which they don't have. That's another imagination they make up. It's, you know, it's just a union card is all it is, all right? And so anyway, those things are possible to win. Because, again, the way I laid it out. Now, anything else you go into the courts with, oh, goodness, try to get a habeas corpus, try to get a jury trial. It's like pulling teeth, and they drag it on for months to a year and eventually just throw you out of court. And I've got so many cases like that. It's really difficult with these people. But
who's got time for that? I got a life I got to lead. You know,
you're right.
Grandchildren,
well, you're absolutely right. I don't disagree with that, but bear in mind, you know, I do a lot of paperwork because of National Liberty Alliance. We took on the job of setting the stage to gather evidence to prove conspiracy at the level within the federal courts. And it doesn't matter whether you're a judge in a federal court in Florida, New York, California, Texas. It doesn't matter where they're at, they're all doing the same thing. And we prove that by the papers that we filed over the years. Many affidavits, many non-judicial foreclosure papers and going after judges for that. Many papers for, going to get many different subjects. Really, we stuck mostly on people losing their homes and also to get habeas corpus. Those are the two major things we were focusing in on. But we did do a few other different cases. So, you know, I'm busy with that, and that was an education for me also. But the whole purpose was to gather the information because they all break the law the same way. They have to be communicating to do this because one's in Texas and the other is in New York and the other one is in Florida and the other one's up in Montana. It doesn't matter where they're at. They all do the same thing. They break the law the same way. That is conspiracy. And that's why we did an indictment on the entire judiciary. We did.
I understand that. Okay. Where is the enforcement? Because they have, it's been 15 years, 18 years, 20 years. My parents were young, and I was a kid, them fighting all this stuff way back. And it's 60, 70 years ago. It's nuts. And where at what point in time does it end? I'm just frustrated.
No, I get frustrated too sometimes. The thing is this, first of all, patience is a virtue. And sometimes we have to wait a long time to get something done. Up until 2017, I did not think we were going to get anything done. Okay, we were trying what we can. We were learning how things work. We were filing papers. We were learning the evil of the court. And it was just lock and load after that because we knew that swear was going to have to end. And there was no other way. And then all of a sudden, 2017, Trump went and became the president. And the whole world changed. My whole point of view changed. My whole focus changed. And through his first administration, his first 4 years, okay, he had the enemy in his camp. Most of the people around him was enemies. They were holding back and slow walking things, and he couldn't get a lot of things done. But he learned who the players were, and he understood more of the structure and how things work, and how things work in Washington, and he already understood, the international world and how things work there. But now he's understanding, how things work in Washington. So his second term was a necessity. He needed 8 years to do this. So that other 4 years in between his 8 years, he's only in one now, it's coming up in 1 year, that other 4 years with Biden was really important to have happened anyway, because a lot of things exposed on who these people are, what they're doing, and they kept putting their foot in their mouth. They put themselves into positions and situations, and now they're going to be held liable to those things. So a lot of exposure took place. People were learning. A lot of people woke up during those 8 years. First 4 years of Trump, 4 years of Biden. Now he's in his first year of his next 4 years, and he's doing business, and he's got the plan. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's got to do. And again, he's got a plan to fix this. He's bringing peace to the world. He's laying anybody paying attention to this. I mean, what president comes and talks to the people every day and exposes what their plan is as they're going along, which whatever they can expose to you, and how they talk to the press every day, and how you can see he's out running around the world making peace between all these other nations, okay, and he's fighting these crazies on the Democrat side, okay, and bringing the economy back and bringing money into this nation, bringing business back from overseas that's been disappearing since I was young. So it takes time, and it's going to happen. No doubt in my mind or heart that it's not going to happen. I do believe it's going to happen, and we're very close to really pulling the trigger finally, so to speak, where he's going to go out and make the arrests, and there's going to be huge, huge things going on, and a lot more people will wake up during that time period.
How close are we, you think? Maybe truthfully.
Well, you know, again, that's very hard to say, because after his 4 years and he lost, you know, I didn't think we were going to wait another 4 years for him to get back in. I thought he was going to get back in by proving and showing that the whole thing was a fraud, that he actually won that election. But I think he learned early on and realized that the courts were so corrupt he wasn't going to win that, and he was going to get that in. A lot of people have tried that. You know, sheriffs have tried that. There are other people in different authorities that have tried that. People that don't have any particular authority in government have tried that, and they all fail because the fix is in, and you know, the judges are threatened, or they got something on them, or whatever the case may be. So it doesn't go anywhere. So I do believe that he just said, "Well, okay, let's take this 4 years and let's just expose them," and that's what's been going on for those 4 years. It was exposure. A lot of people turned over. Look, he got a lot of the black community, Hispanic community. A lot of those people are coming over. A lot of people are the Democrats are jumping ship and coming over. You know, he's got two Democrats in his administration. Who ever done anything like that? Because he doesn't care about the parties either. He knows the problem with the parties. I don't know if he realizes what really has to be done, but we tried to explain it to him. We did explain it to him. We'll see where he goes with that. But it's not really necessarily up to him. It's up to us. He's given the power back to us. Are we going to take that power? Are we going to fix this problem for ourselves and our posterity? Are we going to save this nation? Or are we going to sit back and let them have it? Are we going to give up our flag? What are we going to do? You know, it's up to the people to do this. So, but anyway, people better get educated. And if you don't want to spend the time, you should at least support the people who are spending their time fixing this problem or trying to fix this problem. That's what has to be done. And look at from the Christian point of view, as a Bible student of the Bible, there's no doubt in my mind there comes a time when man will say peace and safety, and we're in that time period. So success will happen. He will get peace around the world. The battle he's getting, the problem he's getting, that he's not getting through total peace, you know, he's got the problem with Russia. Not that Russia is a problem. The problem is, you know, mostly with England, okay, with Britain, because they still have control over this whole thing. People don't realize how much control they have. And to a major degree, and we're talking about, the government structure. We're not talking about the people. Okay, you know, look at America has been starting wars and problems and killing off people, presidents with different people in power and putting other people in power. We've been doing that for 50, 60 years or more. Okay, not the people, these evil people that have taken control of our government, they're the ones that's doing it in our name. And it's the same thing in England, in Britain. It's the same thing. Israel's a major problem also. Not the people, but the government structure. But he fixed that one. That one he got fixed, okay? You know, this problem with Canada, it's because he's trying to take out the New World Order. These people don't want to give in to him because he's destroying them. And so then they don't want to give in, but he's going to win that one too. And he's winning the battles around the world. And he's acting with a lot of confidence and authority and power, and people of high rankings recognize him and what he's doing. He's got a lot of people on his side on many different nations. Believe it or not, Russia is totally on board with us. People don't understand that or realize that, but they're on board with us. Israel now is on board. They caved in. They're on board. Look what he's doing in the Middle East. Okay. This guy is so busy, it's amazing. And, God definitely sent us a type of a Cyrus. And that's who he's portraying, to not realizing it, of course.
Just to guess, though, I mean, timeline. Yeah.
I think before the end of next year, and I hope it much more earlier than that, but I think before the end of next year, you'll see people in jail and people going to military tribunals and hangings going on and everything. You're going to see that within, I think, before the end of next year. But I think, I'm hoping it's going to be a lot earlier than that. And it could be, you know, look at what they're doing right now, okay? you got all these people that are limited income, and they rely on their food stamps, okay, that SNAP program. You also got a lot of people who are retired or I hear, I don't know, I haven't heard this officially anywhere, but I just hear people talking about this. I'm wondering where they're getting this information because I haven't heard it yet. But if you're getting, if you're on Social Security, your checks may stop, okay? Now think of all the people. People can't afford food. People are moving and trying to get as much food as they can right now through a lot of these pantries, you know, where they get free food from churches and different government programs that are handing out food now. And they're preparing to survive next month because they're not going to get their SNAP benefits. And they got a lot of government people. They're living month to month or week to week, however they get paid. And they haven't been paid in their last paycheck. And they got the next paycheck coming up. They're not getting paid on that. Now they're in trouble with food because they've been surviving paycheck to paycheck, people who work for the government, federal government particularly. And so when you have all that, there's going to be unrest. When people don't have food and they can't pay their bills because they're not getting their Social Security, and that's going to cause unrest. And I don't know where that's going to go, and that could really push this quicker because it depends on where that goes. You know, I just don't know. The other thing is it's up to the other side to pull the trigger. They're out of ammunition. They don't know what to do at this point. Trump has really blocked every step that they tried. You know, look at how many times they go to court with this guy, and he wins over and over and over again. Yeah, he loses on the lower end, and that just slows him down, but he always wins up on the Supreme Court end, okay? So he wins, wins, and wins, okay? And they tried to kill him. They tried to put him in jail for, 140 years? It was some crazy number like that. I don't remember what it was. But they wanted to put him in jail. They give him a fine in the multi millions on something that wasn't even true. They took a jury and divided the jury and said, look, at you four people, you decide this. You four people, you decide this. You four people, you decide this. And then they all came back with their decisions, and they didn't get a true jury. It was totally a fixed jury. It was a stacked jury to begin with. It was down in New York City. I mean, look at everything they have done. They tried to impeach him how many times? 2-3 times impeachment? They tried to shoot him. And there's a lot more attempts that we're not even aware of that tried to take his life out while he was president. That just never been reported anywhere. Okay? I see things happening soon. And soon meaning within the year maybe, you know, maybe by the end of next year. Hopefully, maybe spring. I don't know, summer. But it depends on what the other side done. Remember, he's got the militia throughout the different, in a lot of these blue states on standby, ready for, you know, the disruption. So, I understand, but we have to have patience. If we lose our patience, then we stop working and doing what we have to do.
It's frustrating. I understand. I'm with you 100% what you're saying. I agree with you 100%. But at some point in time, there has to be some enforcement, and whether it be with the militia, whether it be the National Guard, I don't know. We'll see.
The National Guard is supposed to be the militia. I know I spoke with Brent about this, he's got a lot more knowledge on this. He wrote a book on the militia, which we did a paper on the militia using a lot of his stuff because he did so much research on it. But his position was that the National Guard was not properly organized and that we need to fix that. At some point in time, we got to look at that. But we need to get the unorganized militia going. And the unorganized militias can become the organized militia. And there is a plan to do that. We've written that up already. So that plan is in effect as far as the paper is concerned. But we're not going to be able to get the organized militia, the unorganized militia, to the point where they become organized to be able to do the right thing and provide the militia in a proper way. we're not going to be able to do that until we get to the other side, because we have to first get the people in the counties to build the militias up. That's the only way to do that is through the committees of safety. Again, everything goes back to the committee of safety. That's how our founding fathers created this nation. That's how they governed themselves before they created this nation. That's how they governed themselves through the war, and that's how they governed them. And that's how they controlled government after they created this nation, and got the Constitution in play. Then the committee men had taken control to maintain the authority, exercising their right of government by consent through the committees of safety. But they robbed us of that. They don't teach people of that. They've taken the committee men, they've created bosses, they've written, they've put statutes out to control them, and they empowered the bosses to have rules. They oscillate the powers back and forth, so there's always someone in power. Because the committee men across the entire nation, just like Congress, is supposed to be totally put out of power every 2 years and reelected every 2 years. So there's supposed to be that turnover constantly. And it hasn't happened. They oscillate the power to maintain the power, so they're always in power. And the party bosses always rule over us. And we, the people, are just a bunch of suckers because we're not paying attention.
Well, hey, I think there's somebody else in line. I got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, so I'll let you go. But, yeah, thank you. We'll fight the fight.
Okay, John, thanks.
You're out, thanks.
Okay, well, back to Anonymous. Is that Elizabeth again? Anonymous, you got the mic. First name and state. Anonymous, you got the mic. First name and state. You are unmuted.
There we go.
There you
go.
Here
I am. So I just know that right now it's pretty frightening to even think about doing much for me, because I know of someone who was put in jail for 2 weeks out of small claims court. And
yeah, if you don't understand what you're doing and you don't understand the courts, you don't get. You're at the mercy of some bar attorney that's going to sell you down the road.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. Yeah. That's what it is. The whole thing is a sham. These judges and lawyers are all working together.
Yeah. So I sympathize with, I'm grateful for the encouragement, but I'm not armed with enough facts yet. So I'm.
And you shouldn't pursue it if you don't, if you got to go to war and you realize you can't go to war because you can't win, and you realize that, then you got to try to make peace. Okay. You got to try to negotiate some kind of an agreement. Okay. That's the case here. Everybody should be learning the law. It's every American's duty to learn the law, understand, because you have a right to be able to go into the courts and exercise your right to exercise your authority in a court, to be able to take care of your own business. Okay, so everybody should know the law. We should have been taught this in school. We should have been taught the Constitution. We should have been taught civics. We should have been taught how due process works in the court. We should have been taught about natural law and the difference between natural law and positive law. We should have been taught all these things, because that's power. That's empowerment. No, what they did instead, okay, is they teach us to go, if you got a political problem or a situation, you go find a party boss and you let them deal with it. It's just, we don't take care of our own business, and it's even worse now because AI is here. People are going to become weaker and weaker, mentally speaking, because they're going to depend on AI to take care of all of their intellectual business, and also, you know, they're distracted with tweeting all day long. I mean, look at, I got a flip phone. I don't even have a smartphone. I refuse to get a smartphone. Mm-hmm. I got lots of computers. I got, I'm online all the time working anyway. But to be bothered by people texting me all day, hey, look at this. Oh, watch this video here. Hey, this was cool. Did you see that? You know, it's insane. People are distracted. They're distracted. And that's their mentality. That's what their life is. That's what their world is. You know?
Yeah.
Come out of it. Wake up. Get out of that. I don't know.
I'd be a fool to try something right now. I'd be just, you know, yes. I mean.
If you don't understand due process, you can't even think about going into the courts. You can't even think about battling. I mean, you could try battling. You won't even know how to battle a case in traffic court. You don't even know how to battle that, okay?
Yeah.
And you definitely can't go up against the IRS. They'll crush you, okay? And they'll get so upset with you. Who do you think you are coming here questioning us? And they will throw the book at you, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, these judges that sit in these courts, IRS courts, they call them tax courts, they're all unlawful. They have no constitutional authority or power to begin with, but they have them going. But they rent the room, okay? In a court building, they have a room that's rented by, and they call it the tax court, okay? And they hire a judge, and they give him a stipend, they give him some money to do it, and then they give him a bonus. If you get this person guilty, we're going to give you a bonus. And they're not shy about talking about that. You can read about this. This is how bad it is. But they know no people are going to go and read these things and look at these things. So they don't care. And even if they find out, what are you going to do? You're one person, two persons, maybe three persons. They don't care. They'll crush you. So, you know, I understand why people would be frightened. And because they don't know what to expect. They don't know how to deal with this. You know, I wrote a book. It's a very simple book. It's a thin handbook. It's called, let me get to the page here. Under the Welcome tab here, if you go down to Books by John Darash,
mm-hmm.
It's Understanding the Federal Courts, okay? And you need to understand the federal courts. You need to understand how this is put together, how it's structured, and how it works. Because that's your final line there, is the federal courts battling due process. And when you go into a federal court, those judges know that they don't want to know nothing about the case. And you bring up anything about the case, they're going to throw that case out. They don't want to know nothing about it. All they want to know is what is the constitutional violation you're coming in to see us about. That's all they want to know. And that constitutional is a denial of due process. And mm-hmm. So, you know, you're suing a judge, you're suing a prosecutor, you're bringing them into federal court. That's the end of the game. You try in state court first. But you're suing them in the federal courts. And there seems to be this battle that seems to go out around between the people on the federal level and the state level. I mean, when I went into court one time in the federal court against the state, the judge beat these guys up pretty bad because they were not obeying his rules, you know, and they should know better because they got their rules.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he beat them up more than they beat me up. You know, but, you know, you have to go in, you have to know how to deal with that in the federal court, and you're battling a constitutional violation, which is the right to due process that they're not giving you. And it's hard for them to throw that case under the bus, you know, to find it on the other side. And if they do, you still have the appeal process, and you'll probably win on that one, you know. But again, you have to know how to get there. And
one of the things that I'm noticing, because I've been watching trials over the last year, they stream them live, you know, and there was one, this Robert Tellis out of Las Vegas, who was being tried for murdering this reporter in Las Vegas because the reporter did a story on, he was a public administrator, and he was abusing the women in his office. And there's even a 48 hours they did on that. Well, so this reporter wrote a story on this, and somebody killed this reporter. And so they had like cameras, you know, but a lot of people have cameras in front of their house. So, and yeah. They were working on construction out near where this reporter was living in Las Vegas. And there was this man walking by, and he had on, it was in July. So they have a lot of clothes on and these big, huge brim hats, and he was walking by the house a couple times, and then one day the reporter came out, and he opened his garage, and he was doing something in the garage, and he went outside and went around the other side of the wall, you know, on the other side of the house, where in between the houses, and this same man walked up. He went back there, and there was, you could see there was a scuffle going on, and then this man who supposedly was part of the construction, he walked away, and that reporter was killed. He was murdered there, and they had, so the trial was all about this, and they were trying to hang this on Robert Tullis. Well, you know, they did a lot of things, like they, you know, they think they followed Robert Tullis's car all over, truck, you know, like a crew cab, all over Las Vegas, and it looked just like his truck, but it wasn't his truck because the tires were different or whatever. But and then after they got to closing arguments, and prosecutor came up, one of them, and they were talking about how guilty he was, and then the defense came up and they said, you know, this is the last time we'll be able to talk to you, but I'm a little tired, but what do you call it when there's reasonable doubt? He goes, you know, there's something called reasonable doubt that could turn this whole thing around, and you know, it's our burden of proof to show you. And he took the, because this truck was parked out in front of the reporter's house because they were doing construction. There was a man sitting in this truck, and they had established that truck to be Robert Tullis's truck. And so he zoomed in with the camera to the man sitting in the cab, and the man had hair. Well, Robert Tullis was bald. I mean, it was like stark contrast of reasonable doubt. And I was watching the cameras when they were, you know, covering this in the trial, and the prosecution was sweating it out, and they had their head in their hands and all this stuff. And so when the prosecution came up to do the final closing argument, he was real dramatic and kind of flailing his hands around, and, you know, like it was more important for them to win than for the truth to be told.
Right.
And that really bothered me. It's like, trial, I mean, the court should be glad no matter who wins, in my opinion, you know, as long as the truth came out. And so that man sitting in prison for life for murdering somebody, I don't believe he murdered him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, he probably ought to be in prison for, you know, the sexual abuse he did. But, you know, I'm just saying, though, that was really amazing to see that happen, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in prison that don't belong there. It's unfortunate, and, you know,
yeah.
I see lots of cases where people just don't belong in jail. I mean, you know, it's...
Yeah.
Again, look, we are our own worst enemies. We need
yeah.
to do something about this.
Right.
What do we do? And, you know, look, if people are not going to get up and spend their time to do something, at least support the people who are. We can use support. We need support. People should be helping us every month, you know, with a few dollars. You know, we ask for $5 or more, but, you know, whatever people can give. And there are other places that other things that people are doing. Maybe you support them. But people who are trying to fix this problem and is on the front lines with this, they need to be supported. Especially if you're not going to do anything else, at least support them. At least, you know.
Well, we as a culture have been taught to distance ourselves from the law because it's above us. You know, that's the brainwashing.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know.
If you have a problem with the law, they tell you to go find a lawyer. If you have a spiritual problem, go find a priest or a rabbi or something. You know, nobody teaches the truth. Why don't you go to the source? Open your Bible. If you have a spiritual problem, you know, go and study the law and figure out how things work. Learn the Constitution if you have a law problem. I look at lawyers just rip you off. They charge a heck of a lot of money, and again, most of the cases, especially if you're going up against the status quo, you're going to lose. And even if you're not going up against the status quo, it depends on who the players are and who knows the judge and what's going on. You know, hey. You know?
Well, plus if the jury had been taught properly, there might have been one person in that jury to object and say, no, he's not guilty.
That jury is a stacked jury.
Yeah.
Right now, it's a stacked jury. They know exactly who's on that jury. When both sides get up to choose a jury, okay, and they ask them some questions, say, yeah, I approve on this one, yeah, I don't take that one, okay, go. And they, all those people are already fixed. It's already, if it's a problem, look, they ask you questions like, what news do you watch? I mean, what business is that of theirs, and why are they asking that question? Because they want to know your political leanings to begin with. Mm-hmm. Do you have a weapon? Do you have a gun? Does anybody else in the house have a weapon? They ask all kinds of questions that has nothing to do with anything, okay? Except for understanding and getting a psychological profile on you, so that then they give you these people with these psychological profiles that'll get the end results that they're looking for, and they put all those people up for these lawyers to choose. So you're up against the judge, you're up against the jury, and you're up against the prosecutor. And you are even up against your own lawyer, and you don't even know him.
You're right. That's
what it is. Right. And we need to fix it. If we want to continue to live in a world like this of injustice, well, then continue what you're doing. Nothing, you know?
Yeah, there was a man who was telling a story about, it was up in Seattle, and they were having a big celebration at the top of the Space Needle. You know, I guess for lawyers who graduated and they'd passed the bar. And so one of the senior lawyers, they're really attorneys, I think. I don't think they're, but anyway, he went over to one of the new lawyers and he said, come here, I want to show you something. They went over to the window because you can see all of Seattle up there in that Space Needle. He goes, you see all this? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, we own all of this, you know, and, it was like, wow, you know, that sounds like Satan saying, if you'll just bow to me, I'll give you all of this. You know, it's like,
exactly,
you know, kind of thing. And it's very disheartening. But I'm glad to know about it. And, you know, it's humbling because I just have to stay where I am and just keep moving forward, you know.
Yeah, and just because you don't have a problem at the moment, and not necessarily you, but anybody listening in here, if you don't have a problem at the moment and you don't need to worry about this or that, that doesn't mean that a problem won't arise tomorrow or the next week or the next month or the next year. You better know how this system works to be able to defend yourself. Otherwise, you're just going to get a liar for hire, and that's that. So anyway, we've come to the end of the program tonight.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And for those for Bible studies, there'll be no Bible study this Wednesday or day after tomorrow because I'm going out to do a presentation. And but we'll be back the following Wednesday. So anybody who wants to join us for a Bible study, just click. Actually, it's in this room. Just come into this room, 7:30 Eastern time on every Wednesday.
All right. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Have a good night.